Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Feel like snitching? Give us a call at 913-662-1270. Then tune in to the Snitch Line every Thursday at 1:15 on Cody and Gold.
Back here on Cody and Golden. Yes, it is a Snitch Line Thursday. That comes your way at 1:15 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Alex Gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today. Nick Schwartz producing the show. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But right now, we do it each and every week. Getting set for the NFL slate, Thursday Night Football tonight, and of course, the Chiefs and Chargers on Sunday. We welcome in our Odyssey Sports betting insider from BetQL and over on the Bet 1660. And she's the host of the Daily Tip, Chelsea Messenger, where our insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Chelsea, good to have you on once again. And the Chiefs once again find themselves as favorites, but they have not been covering for quite some time now. Does that continue this week as 6.5-point favorites?
Right. How do you bet on the Chiefs week after week when they're 1-11-1 against the spread in their last 13 games? I just don't see it. And as somebody who was on the tank against the Ravens, I didn't see them losing that game. So it's hard for me to pick them here against the Chargers, especially with that big number against a divisional team. Their last eight wins for the Chiefs have come by 6 points or fewer. And plus, this defense is giving up 32.5 points per game going against this Chargers offense. It's been pretty solid under Justin Herbert. Wins have been hard to come by, especially in the Anthony Lynn era. Obviously, he's not there anymore, but it's still a team that kind of struggles at the end of games. But when it comes to piling up the yards and a team that might be capable of covering a 6.5-point spread, I think the Chargers are definitely capable of doing just that, as we saw in the first game Justin Herbert played against the Chiefs, where they nearly beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs barely won that one 23-20.
Is it just, Chelsea, that over the last few years with the Chiefs being in the spotlight as much as they have, and like the secret's been out for a while, of course, about Mahomes, but just with this team in terms of why they, the numbers and why they haven't been able to cover, is it just that everybody's kind of caught up to it and it's the lines are that have been that good?
No, it's something about this team. There isn't much urgency. It's like they know that they're better than everybody else, and it finally caught up to them. Last game against the Ravens, and of course I'm not talking about Super Bowl because they couldn't score a single touchdown, and I am still very bitter about that. but looking at this Chiefs team, it just seems like they let people hang around a little bit too long. And when you're talking about covering a number, you need to be dominant. You need to beat up on teams. And like I said, the Chiefs' last eight wins have come by 6 points or fewer. So it's just a matter of urgency, and it just doesn't seem to be there for the Chiefs.
The one thing, Chelsea, that I think every time we've had you on here since the start of the season has been Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown bets. You're 2-for-2 on it. I mean, you got to just keep going. I mean, same thing this week, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The basic girl prop of the week. I know people are going to tune in to this and say, oh, she's a betting expert. She's giving Travis Kelce anytime touchdown. Any bozo could come on here and say that. But it's hit both weeks. Now he's hit it in 7 of his last 8 games. However, the books are quickly catching on. I think it's -165 this week for the Chiefs. So a little more juice delay. I still think it's a solid play, especially looking at this game with a really high total in the high 50s between the Chiefs and the Chargers. We're expecting a lot of points. So I still think he scores a touchdown. It's just going to be a little bit more expensive.
Joseph, what do you look at Thursday night football tonight? Sam Darnold against Davis Mills. Not the matchup we want, but it's the matchup we need.
I think it's a good matchup for props. I will not be betting as Carolina is favored by 8 on the road. I think that's a little tough of a number to cover, even against this Texans team. I definitely would take the Texans if they had Tyrod Taylor, who is a veteran, who I don't think was getting a ton of credit. But Davis Mills is not a veteran. He has not been on a bunch of teams and had the knowledge that Tyrod Taylor possesses. He wasn't especially good at Stanford. So I'm looking at this game and kind of looking at props. And when it comes to props, the first thing you should look at is target share. How much of an opportunity will this player get to have the ball and make the plays? No one gets a bigger target share than Christian McCaffrey. He was in 91%. He was in 91% of the offensive snaps for the Panthers in 2018. A guy that when he's healthy, he is a huge part of this offense. It doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. He's going to be running. He's going to be receiving. And tonight, I think the way to go is Christian McCaffrey over 82.5 yards rushing. He has 45 rush attempts through two games this season, which is a lot, and 170 yards through those two games. And if you think the Panthers are going to be ahead, I think they're going to be running the football. That's not a hot take, especially when you have Sam Darnold, who has already thrown for an interception this season. I don't think they're wanting to throw the ball if they're ahead and give the Texans a shot to get back in this, because the Texans do have a few interceptions. They intercepted Trevor Lawrence quite a few times in that first game this season. So I think Christian McCaffrey's rushing prop, probably the way to go for me.
Chelsea, is there a game that just stands out to you? Just it's the lock of the week. Maybe the Colts at the Titans, 5 points there. The Colts are Brett Hundley from the practice squad's been getting their first, you know, their first team reps. That's one. The Broncos, can they keep this up against a very bad Jets team? Is there one game that just stands out to you as the lock of the weekend?
Well, there's no such thing as a lock in the NFL in betting. Let me tell you that first.
Unless you're fading the Jets.
Many a time. Well, that's the thing. How good do you think this Broncos team is? And I think that's probably one of the games that stands out to me, because usually when it's an underdog of more than a touchdown, I know it's very tempting to take the points, but we've seen some of these teams get absolutely blown out. The Lions had a fighting chance in the first half, but ultimately it was the Packers who covered that big spread. And then you look at the Falcons against the Bucks, getting 12.5. You'd think at least they can keep it close. No, they got blown out by more than 20 points. So I think when you're looking at those dogs that are heavily bet against, I think it's probably worth looking at the big number and covering it. I know it's tough to do it, but especially this Broncos team that has looked really good. Teddy Bridgewater on the road, we know his statistics at covering numbers. This one's at home, but this Jets team still has not shown anything for me to believe they can cover a number, especially when you have a Broncos secondary that was one of the best. According to Pro Football Focus, wow, that's a hard word to say. No one said we're there entering the season. So a good defense going against a turnover prone quarterback, I think, spells disaster for the Jets. Not a hot take, but yeah, I like the Broncos.
Chelsea Messenger, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. Of course, you can hear on the Daily Tip over on BetQL and the Bet 1660. Good luck this week, Chelsea. We'll check you next Thursday.
Thanks for having me.
That's Chelsea Messenger. She joins us every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Here on Cody and Gold.
Run, don't walk to your bookie. Get those bets in now.
The Chiefs have struggled to cover, man. They really have.
You just walked down to your local casino here, right?
Just kidding. One day that'll happen, man. One day.
Iowa or Arkansas. Or
one day it's going to
happen.
A handful
of other states.
One day. We'll get there. Hopefully in 2022. That's the hope, Bink.
And you will live there.
You say that, but again, it doesn't change. I still bet now, so it's not going to change. The difference is
Chipotle and going late to bet, man.
The difference
all day, baby.
The difference will be if it's March Madness and it's the opening weekend. Then I will just sit at a sports book because there'll be, you know, there'll be
Chipotle
all the TVs.
Chipotle and sports book, baby.
But that's all I need, Bank. That's all I need. I'm a happy man at that point. That's really all I need, you know? We'll have our Survivor picks coming up at 12:30. Cody just texted us his pick. He's, of course, not in today, but we have his pick. We'll find out. We'll tell you what that is. Also, we'll get, I'm waiting on Whit Merrifield's pick as well.
Do we know what the morning show did?
I do not know. I'll have to check the board out there. Yeah. But at 12:30, we'll review what we're picking and see where we're at. None of us have any strikes. Just Mac Lethal at this point have a strike in our double elimination Survivor League. We do know in the NFL, the opposite of yesterday, which was multiple 2-0 teams we were taking a look at. How about the 0-2 teams? Do any of these teams make the playoffs this year? These are the 0-2 teams, winless teams right now in the NFL currently. You've got the Vikings, the Colts. You referenced the Colts and their quarterback situation, the Jets and the Giants. Winless teams in the NFL. The numbers, and you're right, it's a little different this year because there's an additional week, Bink, and so we don't know how that factors in. But since 1990, when we know the expanded playoff field at that point in time from 10 to 12, only 11 and a half or so of those teams who lose their first two end up making the postseason. Half of them, of that sample, won division titles. That would be the 01 Patriots, the 2007 Giants, and the 93 Cowboys.
The one thing, the numbers are obviously skewed, not only because of that, but the extra playoff team as well. You look at these teams, Jets, no way, no way in hell. Jacksonville, no way in hell. Colts,
No.
They do have the talent of these teams, I don't think they're going to do it, but the talent is more, they're more talented roster than these other teams. Then you look at the NFC, all right, the Giants lost. And you know what? The Giants should be 1-1. You say, wait, shouldn't be. No, they should have, because Dexter Lawrence was not offsides
and
on that kick.
And Slayton dropped the ball, right?
Not only that, you go back to look at the replay. He did not. He jumped to snap. It was perfect.
Yeah, he timed it.
The Washington shouldn't have won that game over the Giants. But I don't think the Giants are as talented. I think the Colts are the most talented group. Not very talented, but I think out of this group, that would be it.
I'm just fading the Colts all year. I've said that I have a bet on the under for them, win total under 9. I love the fact that they're off to an 0-2 start. I think they're going to have an 0-3 start, which will look very nice when it comes to that. I mean, as far as the most likely to make the playoffs, none of them, right? Most likely none of these are going to make the playoffs. But if I have to pick one, I do think I would say the Giants only because of the division that they're in. Whereas the Jets in that division with Buffalo and New England,
they should be tied for first.
Yeah, The Jets, of course not. The Colts, I just, even in that division, I'm just not a believer in them whatsoever. I haven't been all offseason. And the Vikings, look, the Packers are the best team in that division, even if they were a little rocky, to say the least, week one. I think that was just a week one deal. They bounced back against the Lions. The Lions are terrible. The Bears, we'll see now with Justin Fields how much does that elevate, if it does at all, where the Chicago Bears are. But out of the 0-2 teams, I mean, if you're making me pick one, yeah, it is kind of the Giants, only because the NFC East, we know last year what it took to get in.
No. Who,
give me the team then, Nick. Give it to me.
I mean, history.
Who is it, the Vikings?
History would tell us that one of these teams will make it. I do think it will be easier to sneak in the NFC. I think the NFC is very top heavy, and after that, they don't have as much.
History tells us only 11%. History doesn't tell 11% of the time.
Yeah, it'll be at least one team.
All right, what 2-0 teams? What 2-0 teams?
How many teams are there?
Do those teams have a better chance to make the playoffs than 2-0 teams? Like, let's say the Broncos and Raiders.
No, 2-0.
You think they're actually going to be in there?
2-0 is a more certainty that you will make it than 0-2 means you're not, won't.
60%, with the old format, 60% of the time, if you start 2-0, you make the postseason. Of course, it jumps up once you get to 3-0. It would make sense. We realize that's why the Panthers, if they win tonight, suddenly are in a nice spot. Yeah, Nick, you were correct. If you're, when it was with 12 teams, now it's 14. It was 11% of the time. If you lose your first two, you make the playoffs. Now there's two more spots, so let's just say that number bumps up to, 15%, 20% max, something like that?
I'll pick the Colts. Pick the Colts.
Even with their quarterback being hurt and everything. Yeah, is it just because of the division?
That might be an upgrade.
Jacob Eason? Or
yeah.
Brett Hundley, really?
Yeah, but yeah. Great. Yeah. They have a good offensive line when they're not hurt. Obviously, Braden
Smith.
See,
that's Smith's the
problem.
Hurt.
Okay, it's here, like, it is.
Jonathan Taylor
two
in the backfield. In. Not only that, they found a way to win and get to the playoffs with Phillip Rivers, who's now coaching 4A football in Alabama. Yeah,
listen, I pick
Rivers.
A team, and you guys go, "Well,
no, but
they
suck."
That's who I would
pick.
That's
why they're 0-2. Because they suck. And here's the deal:
it'll the other ones at least have a quarterback.
It'll either be the Colts, or it will be nobody. And that's what's actually going to happen. Nobody's making it.
It's the Giants
playoffs.
Or nobody, and it's nobody.
It's not the Giants or nobody. The Giants are nobody. They don't even exist.
They should have a win.
They're not even real people.
Who's
they
been
don't
closer to a win?
Matter.
That was my pick with Pete Sweeney to be the Chiefs' most lopsided win is over the Giants on Monday night before
shout
the
out,
season.
Shout out Rob Britton. I heard his he was hosting Bing Sunday Week 1, and I heard him say, "Watch out for the Giants this year," and that was it. That's all he really said. And I was like, so I hadn't really paid the Giants much mind, so now I'm like, I am watching out for them, but what am I watching for? Giants-Falcons, whichever team loses that game's getting one overall pick.
Mike Zimmer's done after this year in Minnesota, right? Like Kirk Cousins, they have a $45 million cap hit for Kirk Cousins next year. So he's not going anywhere next year. Nobody's trading for that, right?
Dude, there's always a team.
$45 million.
Let me switch up this question. Let me switch up this question.
I know we thought that about Carson Wentz, and to be fair, but
if Mahomes was the quarterback of one of these teams, which team would go to the postseason of all these? Because you're looking at roster.
The Jets
would be 100% going Colts.
The Jets would win 8 or 9 games with Mahomes. All these teams would win 8 or 9.
But which team would be the best? I would take the Colts.
The Vikings would have the number one offense in the NFL with Mahomes.
Yeah, Thielen and Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook with Mahomes would be incredible.
Yeah.
Now I think the Giants have some playmakers as well. I actually believe that. My question is,
what do you mean? What does that even mean?
Who?
Barkley's pretty damn good.
Not this year.
Is he? When's the last time Saquon Barkley was a plus running back?
Well, you think he sucks now?
Just asking a simple question. When was the last time you watched Saquon Barkley play football and go, that guy's special?
I think with Mahomes.
2 years ago?
I think the question was about Mahomes. Kenny Galladay would have a huge season with Patrick Mahomes. Huge season. As would Sterling Shepard.
Oh, okay. As would...
Right, but that was a question, Nick.
As
the question
Anthony
was,
Miller.
The question as was, would the team be better?
Kendrick Bourne. Like, is a quarterback in one of these
Yes, that was
teams.
The question.
Who would be the best of the bunch?
As and I just told Quintez you the best. Cephas.
I said the best. I'm sorry you don't like the answer. I gave you the answer. It's the Minnesota Vikings. And then I said I
Albert
think the Giants
Wilson
would be
might
pretty
go
good.
For 1,208 touchdowns with Mahomes. I mean, if
that's
we want to play
he's
that
on the back
game.
Of the milk carton since that Broncos game.
That's exactly what the question was, Nick.
If Jared Cook were Mahomes' tight end, we'd be like, is Jared Cook not getting enough love as best tight end in the league?
That's how good Mahomes is. I mean, that was what the question was. None of these teams would suck with Mahomes. Is that what you want me to say?
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's. I don't think it's a productive argument to be like, well, what about with Mahomes?
That
would
was
be good.
Question.
Well,
that's
just the question
asked.
I posed.
It was a good question. It was a great question by Bing.
Every question's
Love
a
you.
Good question.
That was a good question.
It's a hypothetical.
No, it's a good question. I liked it.
All right, you put Mahomes on any roster.
Like
what's the record?
What's the
you
what's
take
the
any
lowest?
Team in this AFC West and you put him there?
All right,
Justin Herbert. The Chargers win the division if he's there.
What's the lowest record that Mahomes would have? Like what roster results in?
We talking full size Mahomes or mini Mahomes?
With Manny Mahomes.
You guys don't even remember the reference. Saturday Night Live, man. We talking Benny Ditka or full-size Ditka? The Bears. Who's that? You guys are dating yourself. Full-size Ditka. Benny Mahomes or full-size Mahomes?
Full-size Mahomes.
Oh, yes.
Full-size Mahomes on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, 8 wins.
I'll give him 10.
We saw Deshaun Watson last year. Like 5, wasn't it? 4?
Yeah, the roster's worse now, too, though. So I'll still say 8 wins, though. The roster in Houston's worse than it was a year ago.
Mahomes.
Like with the Jags, with the Jags and Urban Meyer as the head coach.
They still went 8.
Yeah, I think 8's the minimum. With any team, Mahomes guarantees
because
you.
Because Urban Meyer turns everything over to Mahomes, even the offense.
Let me pick the roster, let me pick the head coach, let me pick the offensive coordinator, okay?
Throw him out. So, for someone that hated the question, he's still rolling with it.
Well, now we're having fun with it, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm putting...
Deep down, Nick likes me.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't kill me off.
So I'm going to put him on the Lions roster.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Adam Gase is his offensive coordinator.
Okay.
And
I just won't let Adam Gase call any of the plays. Mahomes just run the show.
Can I bring back Jason Garrett to be the head coach? Or is it only current head coaches?
I mean, I'll let you
but
do whatever
you
want.
But you have to call him Mr. Garrett or Coach Garrett.
Yeah, so I got Jason Garrett head coach, Adam Gase offensive coordinator, Mahomes leading the Lions roster. That is not an 8-win team. I'm sorry.
It's a great Lions
team. It's an 8-win team.
That's a great Lions team.
It's an 8-win team, at least.
Think of Mahomes,
man. It's an 8-win team.
You think he's going to let them lose? Doing in Detroit this year.
He's going to be calling all the plays and doing everything.
The strength of the Lions is their offensive line. They're going to actually be able you laugh, but they'll be able to protect Mahomes.
Yeah, Penei Sewell's going to be out there with him.
Quintez Cephas or whatever, whatever the hell his name is, he's going to end up getting a huge contract because of Mahomes. Yeah.
We're going to be like, wow, what a breakout year for Quintez Cephas.
He's got TJ Hockenson. You laugh at the Lions. And that, again, Mahomes, they're winning 8 games. The Lions.
That's his new Kelsey.
Yeah. Hockenson is going to end up being an elite tight end anyway.
So every team is a Patrick Mahomes away from that. Wow.
The Lions had a lead on the Packers, then Jared Goff became Jared Goff.
From being an 8-win team. We're not saying they're going to win 14 games, but Mahomes, any team wins at least 8 with Patrick Mahomes. Yes, I believe that. He's the best.
Wow. That's got to be the question of the day. Can you formulate a scenario where Mahomes is on an NFL roster that doesn't win 8 games? Can you do it? Can anyone do it?
Because he's that good.
Let us know on the text line.
Because he's that good.
I can't think of one.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs red.
Yeah, what if Mahomes were 5'8", a buck 30?
He still wins six.
I love how that cost him two wins in this scenario. Like that, I mean, that cost him two. That's what the height's worth. Two wins. The height is... Height worth two wins.
Trash of the day.
All right, trash of the day is brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point, and it is gone. Bink, are you on TikTok?
No.
Could you imagine?
Obviously.
Bink's doing film just breakdowns on TikTok. Bink's doing, you know, beer chugging. You see, you actually would work. You could do beer chugging
on
TikTok.
Twitter, though.
Cool. Yeah, but TikTok, I think it's right. You know, you, Bink,
play the home game.
You can reach a younger demographic and everything. Well, there's a new trend.
Was Twitter old or something?
People that are like, what, 18 to 22 are on TikTok more than they are on
if
Twitter.
If you're on
yes.
Twitter and Facebook, you're pretty much covered.
Yeah, I don't even know if you... I don't even checked your Facebook recently, Bink, but there's a national...
There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's a national... I haven't seen a pop-up on the timeline or newsfeed, whatever they call it on Facebook.
I just
national,
put something out there the other day about a brewery, damn it.
National TikTok trend. There's a new one called Devious Lick. And any...
I've seen this, man.
Explain what a devious lick is, Gold.
Lick.
Please.
Lick.
Like I hit a lick.
I think of you, I think of devious licks.
It's... It encourages kids to do devious things to school property. And so there's these videos. It's a trend going around in the area all across the country, really. But it's happened here as well. That people are doing where they're missing from school bathrooms or like soap bottles. And they're breaking the paper towel dispenser off the wall. And they're documenting it for this devious lick trend for some clout. There's videos of people just... breaking property at schools, and it somehow became a TikTok trend. I guess I laugh. Would we be doing this if we were 12? Would we be doing this as well?
Thought Devious Licks was the name of your OnlyFans account.
Yeah, that's coming soon.
I thought it was immature to put atomic bomb on somebody's butt pad in football, but that's how things have changed. Why would you do something where it has video of you doing it? That just seems...
Well, how else do you expect to go viral?
They got to get the clout, man. That's how it works.
It sounds like suspension to me. A lot of things.
I saw kids stealing urinal cakes.
But you didn't video it, though.
I'm talking about in this viral trend. Yeah. There was a video of these old
back in my
kids
day, kids
urinal
stole urinal cakes and didn't put it on video.
Well, that's yeah.
Well, what's the point?
We ate the things, Nick. Oh.
No, you
it's a
did
joke.
Not. No, you
don't video yourself doing something.
Those were the old
something.
School urinal cakes. These are now. They're just all the like the I don't know. Like
you remember
the
Derek
rubbery
Jeter?
Ones.
Probably the best thing Derek Jeter ever did is when you come into his to Jeter mansion or whatever, you put your cell phone away, so that way nothing's on tape. It's a beautiful thing.
But it probably makes you sign an NDA too.
Yeah, I mean, it
what's
was
going
Jeterville.
On? Blood sacrifices?
I don't know what's going on. Maybe you don't film anything. It's like Vegas. Whatever Vegas stays in Vegas.
Well, I'd like a certain level of security when I'm. In a super rich person's home, what are
you
going to do?
You don't need to film yourself doing devious licks.
Well, that is, I mean, all TikTok is just like making sure. Like that's, I mean,
Jay, that's why you're never going to go viral, man.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to incriminate myself.
Life, dude.
So now they're having to lock.
Viral,
I do enough dumb
exist,
stuff without
man.
Video.
They're having to like lock up the school bathrooms and stuff and make sure they know who's going in and out.
I just not let them walk in graduation.
Well, that's one way to get people's attention.
Life is about going viral, Jay. You got to understand that, man. It's a new world we're living in.
Restrooms are now closed during class hours, and staff and teachers have to be posted near the restrooms to monitor them because these people are documenting them.
Because of devious licks. Come
devious on, lick.
I'd love to be a principal taking care of devious licks.
Bink as a principal for a day would be incredible. Would be absolutely incredible. You see you patrolling the hallways.
All you would do is
I don't know if we'd have devious
licks.
You
spend the whole day in the coach's office talking to the talking
I probably
to
would.
Prospects.
If they spend an hour on devious licks, all right, how are we going to take care of the situation?
Who's your top football player? All right, let's get him out of class.
Full-size Mahomes.
Let's watch some film together.
Running this kid through drills.
Hey, by the way, you're not coaching this week.
Nick's going to be the only principal in the middle of the hallway during school lunch. Just chewing on some dip. Spitting.
All you football players can go on home. Rest up. Big game.
Oh, man. Someone says, going back to what we were talking about real quick, could Mahomes get the Jayhawks to a bowl game?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, he could.
No, he couldn't.
Yep. This version of Mahomes, not college. I'm talking right now, yes.
This version of Mahomes could get the Jayhawks.
Yep. No.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yes, Nick. Yes, he could. This version.
You guys.
Can you imagine Mahomes in a Jayhawk uniform?
It'd be a beautiful thing. Look, beautiful. Rock shot.
He would look like a devious lick. You just don't see things like that.
Nick's very upset.
Few, He'd be worth a few wins.
Yeah, they
it
don't,
would not be a bowl game.
He'd sell it out.
I don't know, actually.
if Mahomes was quarterback in Kansas, they would sell
like
out.
If they said, so the headline tomorrow is like, shocking news, Patrick Mahomes, granted an extra year of eligibility, has decided to retire from pro football to pursue his lifelong dream of being the Kansas Jayhawks starting quarterback. And we'd all be like, wow, this is such a shocking career move, but we support him. Now let's start breaking down the X's and O's. Can this work? I don't think there's enough... They'd still have to score. You know how we say he has to score 30 points every game just to give the Chiefs a chance? He'd have to score 50 every game.
You don't think he could?
Seriously.
Did you see him at Texas Tech?
He could do it.
There was 128, yeah, there was 128 teams in college football. There's 130 now. 128 when he played at Texas Tech. Who had the worst scoring defense in the country?
See what you've
he
done. Did.
He is used to doing this. It's how he thrives.
You guys are underplaying the monster, the beast that is Kansas football.
I mean, Geno won an Orange Bowl with them.
And that was a long time ago.
You telling me Mahomes couldn't win in Kansas? Come on now.
That was a long time ago.
Come on now. Put him with me and Geno in Kansas.
Coming up
and
next.
See what can happen. What kind of carnage?
Thinking of Mahomes, hear what Patrick Mahomes said is really close to improving on this team.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Our Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire been the focus all week after the fumble, understandably so. I think that's just how this thing goes. It's going to take quite some time for people to not be locked in and have him in the crosshairs after the fumble, although, as we know, there were plenty of other things in that game, but we just know how sports work. It's the last thing that essentially cost you the game, and it was the fumble. Otherwise, the Chiefs, I think, were all convinced. They were marching down the field, and whether it was going to be a Butker field goal to win it or they would have found a way to get in the end zone if it wasn't for the fumble. Patrick Mahomes said something about the running game. He was asked about where it's been because it's been a massive disappointment so far. We know it's a pass-first offense, but still, you got to get more production out of this running game. This is what Patrick Mahomes had to say about the run game.
I think it's really close. If you look at every run play that we have, it's just one thing here, one thing there as a full unit, as an offense. It's not just offensive line, it's maybe the receivers or the running back. It's kind of a full thing, and I think when you have new guys, that stuff tends to happen. But I think as the season goes on and people get a real good feel for each other on the offensive line and with the receivers and tight ends and the running backs, I think that will pick up, and we have the guys to do it, so I'm sure it will.
Are they really close to improving the run game? Because right now Clyde is averaging 3.3 yards per carry, which if you look at the Pro Football Focus grades as well, he's graded right as the worst running back in football. Say what you will about Clyde. He's not the worst running back in football right now, the 55 that have carried the ball. That's just not, he's not. He's not. The guy was an 1,100 total yard guy a season ago. You can be down on Clyde all you want, but he's not the 55th best running back in football. That's insane. We know what he was able to do last season. But what has changed for me, at least with Clyde a little bit, is just that last year it seemed like we understood that some of his lack of production was related perhaps around the goal line to the offensive line. I don't think we can say that anymore, even 2 weeks into the season. Some of this has to fall much more on Clyde doing a better job, whether it's vision, whether it's, again, the juice, as we talked about with Nate Taylor a little bit on Monday. It doesn't seem like that's there. On Tuesday, I guess it would be. That doesn't seem like it's there. Clyde's better than a 3.3 yard per carry running back. That has to improve, and I believe that will improve. He's too talented still, even if you're down on him, to think that he's really as bad as the numbers have shown so far two games in.
I think so with Clyde. It's an attitude thing. He was 4.4 last year. I think that was more indicative of who he is. And you wanted to see that stuff from LSU. There's a reason why he's a first-round pick. The 55 catches, 1,000 yards, never been done in the history of the SEC. And, you know, that's what the 19 first-round picks they've had from that company. No one's ever done that. And I believe in Clyde, but running backs, it could be a mental thing. You know, it's a confidence thing with running backs. You know, you see the confidence with different running backs in this league. You see, obviously, see it with undrafted running backs all the time
like
in the
James
NFL.
James Robinson.
Yeah, they have just a chip on their shoulder, and they want to prove themselves. And it's how you're seeing the field at times. I think he'll be better. But he needs to be better now. You know what I mean? Because the training wheels aren't on with this team. It's about production right now from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And you got to see that confidence. You got to see how running. Are you running hard? Are you using the stiff arm? Are you breaking tackles? Are you getting away? You know, I understand why they didn't do as many screens last week. It didn't make a lot of sense against Baltimore since they weren't blitzing. Lowest blitzing total they'd had in Wink Martindale's career in the Ravens. So I understand or they weren't throwing it as much to him out of the backfield. But running backs can be such a confident thing. I mean, we talk about, you know, stopping the run. You've heard all the people from Joe Mays and everybody else talking about, you know, being a mental thing, you know, the tackling the issues, the mindset. Same thing with running backs. Because you either see the hole or you don't. It's weird because you go back to even when Priest Holmes was here and he got that other contract, was doing things. And then Larry Johnson was coming in. Priest was struggling to get the 4 yards of carry. Larry came right in, same offensive line and everything. He was averaging over 5 yards more per carry. Why? He was fresher. It was how he was running at the time. It's such a temperamental thing with running backs, whether you're like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry goes out and it destroys people at certain times. But don't forget, a couple years ago, he had only had 100 yards on the dot before that Chiefs game. Like, he was not running as confidently until that Chiefs game. And then from then on, Derrick Henry's been a different back. But he'd only had 100 yards even before he played the Chiefs a few years ago against Tennessee when they knocked off the Chiefs in 19. But it becomes an attitude thing.
So you think he's just kind of in a funk at this point? Because I'm not.
He's in a slump.
I think it's insane for anybody that just wants to write him off. That's a slump, like
baseball. You see guys go for 20 streaks or whatever. It is a slump. It's a mentality, especially at the running back game. How long Andy Reid's going to let this go on, we'll see.
Right. Like, I think it's crazy to write him off. However, at some point, so we're 15 games in. He played 13 last year. We're 15 games into his career. At some point, what he did in college doesn't matter. In fact, we're already there. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm not taking a shot at you at all. Like, I know you brought up the college stats at some point don't matter anymore.
I'm just saying, he's proven to do it.
He did it in college. You're correct. Last year, I think people downplayed the type of season Clyde had in 13 games, 1,100 total yards. I'm still a big believer in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but what's changed for me has been, all right, we can't anymore put it on the offensive line, in my opinion. That's not going to be the same story this year if, in fact, he struggles, and we saw it. Take the fumble out of it. That would still, the 3.3 yards per carry is still a problem. Again, I'm not even talking about the fumble. It's his first career fumble. Can't happen, but I don't think he's going to be a fumble-prone back. I don't believe that. I don't think we're going to be sitting here 8 weeks from now and saying he keeps fumbling the football. That was, unfortunately, the worst timing ever for it to happen, but it did happen. What's more concerning is 3.3 yards per carry, and we haven't seen him involved in the passing game like we all thought he would be. I would like to see, we saw Jerick McKinnon lined up out at wide receiver. You know, they split him out wide at wide receiver a few times against the Ravens. I would like to see Jerick McKinnon involved a little bit more. Doesn't mean that I don't want Clyde getting the ball, but I would like to see them try to utilize what I thought was someone they would utilize based on what he looked in camp and Jerick McKinnon. With that said, it's only been two games. We know there's plenty of times where the first few weeks, a guy that gets a little underutilized and then all of a sudden there's an adjustment there. Maybe that's this week. Maybe this is the week we see a little bit more of Jerick McKinnon and what he can bring to the table.
Well, the problem is they restructured his offensive line. Obviously, priority one was Patrick Mahomes. But the guy that was going to benefit from this offensive line, too, was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Road graders. Orlando Brown was a road grader in Baltimore with the most historic rushing offense we've ever seen in the NFL, over 3,200 yards a couple years ago, Orlando Brown. Trey Smith, the pedigree of being a road grader at Tennessee. Same thing with Lucas Niang going back to TCU. This is a road grading offensive line. You would think that would have benefited Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But it's getting on page with them. Andy Reid was asked yesterday about the running game. If he sees something specific, take a listen to this. It's 5 seconds of greatness, a one-word answer. Andy Reid, you see anything specific with this offensive line?
Yeah.
Best quote of the week.
Okay.
Yeah. One-word answer. He knows.
We need to break
it down. It's going to be maniacal Reid.
I need to hear that just one more time because there was something in there that I think most people are missing.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you notice a lot of people are focusing on the yeah?
Mm.
Did you hear the inflection in his voice change when he said,
It was a maniacal, I know exactly what the problem is.
It wasn't just a yeah, it was a, yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's a big difference between just saying yeah. Insinuates that he can't believe you would even ask the question like, I see something. That's what I heard.
This is a former line coach at Mizzou. He's known as a quarterback whisperer, but obviously offensive line is in his blood and what he knows. Yes, we saw something. I'm curious.
So does that
was the definitive. I know what the problem is.
So he knows what the problem is. I'm with you.
Definitively, he knows.
I totally believe he knows what the problem is. But what do you think the solution is? Do we see it this week? Is it? simply a different individual that's involved in the rushing attack? Is it something with the O-line? And maybe we're wrong here that there is something
it's
the O-line's
Chargers
not doing.
And their 30th ranked run defense. And they're saying the same thing about the Chiefs' run
correct.
Defense.
Something's got to give. Like the Chargers are the third worst rushing defense in football. The Chiefs have the worst. The Chargers,
this is
the same
a confidence
thing.
Booster, Alex.
This is the get right game on that realm.
This is you at 3 a.m. getting the phone number, man. This is when you correct the, correct the rights of the wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
I don't know. That one word answer kind of told me like 1,000 words. Same thing with Nick. Nick obviously understood it clearly right there.
You're all over it, Jay.
Yeah.
Andy Reid.
Best quote of the week.
A man of brevity.
So read into it. Yeah, he knows. Not going to tell you, but he knows because he let one word answer. And then the media laugh.
What would have happened if he said,
no?
I have no idea.
He wouldn't have done that.
But I'm just saying, what would the reaction have been if he would have said, I have no idea. I stayed up all night last night. I can't figure it out.
Your guess is as good as mine.
I got no answers.
You tell me, what do you guys think we should do?
Don't know.
Anybody got any suggestions? What
do you guys think we should do?
Just raise your hand if you got any ideas.
Empty set.
Bink, what do you think, Bink? Thanks for the question. What do you think?
Bink, what would that be? Would you die a happy man if Andy Reid said, hey, Jay, you got any suggestions for the run game this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a few. You have a number.
I'm convinced if you saw Andy Reid out at a restaurant and you were sitting there, you'd give him some advice on the rushing attack.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
No, you wouldn't give anybody.
I'd get the cheeseburger menu first.
No, you're a classy guy. You'd just scribble down a play on a napkin and hand it to him.
Just slide the napkin over and leave. Have a good night, sir.
Bill Walsh did it.
He's
been compared to Walsh.
At the bottom, it just says, compliments of Bink.
Bink's got napkins embroidered with his name on them that he hands out to football coaches around town.
Absolutely.
Thinking of that offensive line.
I communicate.
Eric Eager, who works and writes over at Pro Football Focus, was talking about the offensive line a little bit, and he threw this out there, and I completely disagree that it's best-case scenario. Here's what he said. He said the best-case scenario for the Chiefs' offensive line might be that Tooney and the three first-year guys stay healthy and play well enough that they can walk, they being the Chiefs, that they can walk on Orlando Brown Jr. after the season. I don't know how that's best case scenario. You gave up a first round pick for Orlando Brown Jr. And we all assumed at the time of the trade that likely means franchise tag and long-term deal or long-term deal initially, right? And that was we knew you don't give up a first round pick.
Problem solved. We know who he's going to be.
Now, obviously there's a scenario. If Orlando Brown Jr. was just complete trash, okay, this season, then they're not going to give you a $100 million contract. I don't think that's going to be the case. I thought people were fairly harsh after week one. And what does he do against his former team? He looked great. He did. He looked great against his former team. We saw week one against Myles Garrett, a better pass rusher. He gave up five pressures. The offensive line as a whole was good. I get the thought process that the offensive line across the board, if you have Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Niang all in rookie contracts, like that's a good thing. You answer those problems. I don't disagree there. But to me, left tackle, blind side of my $500 million quarterback, I don't want to then have to go find out who my left tackle is next year. So the idea, best case scenario, is that Orlando Brown Jr. is not on the team next year. Any scenario that involves that is a problem to me.
It is to me, too, because you have your left tackle. You know who it's going to be. And not only that, you have an offensive line that's going to be together with contracts till Mahomes in his 30s. Till Mahomes hits the ripe old age of 30 years old, the same offensive line, the continuity. I think this team has other issues, you know, specifically with wide receiver, some stuff on defense, not to worry about the left tackle position. I think they have it. They're going to franchise Orlando Brown this year.
We had Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Actually, he joined us right before week one of the season. We were talking to him about Orlando Brown and about this offensive line. Listen to what he had to say, and it kind of relates to what Eager's point is as well.
As far as finding the franchise left tackle, I also don't think that's a necessary thing. I think when you're building an offensive line, the goal should be to just not have weaknesses and to just be, you know, solid, good across the board. And when you add that up, you usually get the sum of the parts ends up being one of the best offensive lines in the league. So it is tough to find four or five good, solid offensive linemen as starters. So I'll answer the question that way. And so you don't need Joe Thomas. You don't need Orlando Pace at left tackle, but sure. You want to be good, and you just want to be good and with few weaknesses along the offensive line. And I think in the Chiefs' case, they've made a ton of steps to make sure that will be the case going forward.
And look, it appears that the Chiefs are going to have a solid offensive line in multiple spots. Like, what are you saying you would rather have, I think, can exist, but also, to me, you still need to have the left tackle part of that. Like, it looks like Creed Humphrey is going to be a long-term answer at center. Looks like Trey Smith can be that at right guard, and of course, Niang at right tackle, and Tooney's going to be here for a little while with that contract that he signed, and he's one of the best left guards in football. But he mentions Orlando Pace's name, who's a Hall of Fame left tackle. Like, yeah, I don't want to have a great left tackle and everybody else sucks. I am not trying to sell that. But in the scenario of the long-term answer, considering you gave up a first-round pick, the best case scenario involves your left tackle for your $500 million quarterback that you traded for is still on this team and is one of the strengths, in fact, potentially for your team. One of the better end tackles. It doesn't have to be a top five tackle for it to work out. I don't need Orlando Brown Jr. to be a Hall of Famer. I don't need him to be a top five left tackle by any means in football. He needs to be no worse than probably 12 or 13, worst case scenario, but probably a top 10 left tackle.
And I do agree the left tackle and right tackle thing. I think that we make too big of a deal with left tackle. Obviously, the blind side, that's fine. But elite pass rushers will move from the left and the right. Don't forget, Chris Jones, the first game, got a sack on the left tackle and the right tackle in that game. The left tackle, historically, we look at that position, you got to protect it. But we see the elite pass rushers lining up on the right tackle as well. I just like the fact, the continuity, it's only going to get better. Like, you just saw the concrete poured. You know, let it dry with this offensive line. They're going to get better, get the communication down going forward. The Tooney, Orlando Brown, that is a great combination to have those two next to each other, left tackle and left guard. I like the situation the Chiefs are in with Orlando Brown. You look at the free agents coming out next year, you think, okay, Orlando Brown would be probably at the top of that list
as far as those
guys. And he's 1 year in the system, and this team is their fish to fry.
Well, that's the thing. They're in the middle of the championship window, and so if in this scenario, if you're telling me that Orlando Brown somehow wasn't on the team next year, which I just don't envision that being the case
at
all.
Well, you have to take a look at the situation, too.
What are you going to do? Move Niang then to left tackle and then still have to go find another right tackle and pay for a right tackle? It doesn't make any sense.
It's like the guys that were out there, you know, Leatherwood's playing on the right side. Eisenberg was left tackle. He's over the backup right tackle. Samuel Cosmi is on the right side now, was on the left side then. There wasn't any option. When you look back historically what the Chiefs were faced with in the NFL draft, all the uncertainty of the 2021 NFL draft, tons of uncertainty because there was no combine. They absolutely 100% made the right choice with Orlando Brown, who's only going to continue to get better.
I'm with you. I think a huge encouraging sign for anybody that was a little worried after what the Cleveland Browns game brought from an Orlando Brown perspective with the five pressures.
Miles Garrett's going to get his, though. He's one of those get his guys.
And that's
he's
exactly
going to get his production.
That's exactly what I was saying after the Browns game for people that were worried. You're going up against one of the elite pass rushers. Now I want to see what you do against Justin Houston and some others. It's a step down or two. And
you're going to grade an offensive lineman against vintage J.J. Watt?
Right. And he more than held his own at left tackle. I'm not worried about Orlando Brown Jr. I'm not worried about the offensive line either. I feel really good about where this offensive line is at. I know the Ravens front isn't what the Browns front is. The Chiefs will get a test a little bit here this week from Joey Bosa, depending on health, right? Right, that's the Chargers. What do you know? Chargers and injuries again. Derwin James, right?
Derwin James did not practice one day last week, did not practice yesterday. Chris Harris at corner didn't practice at all. And Joey Bosa, talked to one of their beat writers in the Orange County Register last night. He's a little bit concerned with Joey Bosa going back and forth. So whether they see him or not, again, take it with a grain of salt because the Ravens injury report was a laundry list and they still came out with the win. So you can't always look at those injury lists and think, well, it's 100% certainty because Chiefs didn't have anybody with injury designations. Everybody practiced today, too, by the way, for the Chiefs. Everybody.
Yeah, it's a great sign based off of yesterday. And the Hitchens one was the one that I still think a little bit you got to keep an eye on, even though he's been practicing. He had some minor sort of surgery to clear up fatty tissue.
Yeah, see, I don't know what I'm still trying to figure out what that is.
Just like Andy's answer was yes to the offensive line in the running game, he was asked, like, was Hitchens surgery on Monday or Tuesday?
I think surgery was a hard term for it.
He's like, surgery Monday or Tuesday? And he's like, yes. He wouldn't say if Hitchens had the little outpatient procedure Monday or Tuesday.
It was more of a procedure, in and out, you're practicing. I think you think, oh my God, we use the word surgery, it's like a dirty word, but I think it was more of a procedure thing.
You think it's more like, not that this is what occurred, but like when you hear someone gets their knee drained, you're like, okay, not a big deal, move on kind of thing. Now, this wasn't a knee drain, this was a removing some sort of fatty tissue, but maybe.
Who knows what that is, where it is. I mean,
fatty tissues removed, Bink?
I don't know, where's fatty tissue at?
All over. All over. Nick, you ever have any fatty tissues?
That's where he's been the last 2 days.
Yeah, that's true. Nick was out. Maybe Nick was getting some fatty tissues removed.
Yeah, I don't like. After I really don't like talking about off. Fatty tissue. Yeah, I get emotional.
Kills me off that he's gone for a couple days.
Hey, we're killing you off every Friday Karma, here on buddy. Cody and Gold.
Cody's getting his fatty tissues removed today.
610 Sports Radio.
Well.
And we are the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's just factual.
Thank you. Yeah. We are.
It's true.
Someone sounds like Hitchens had some liposuction. I don't
I don't know what he had done, but it didn't matter. It was a procedure. Removal. I mean, the word surgery scares them. Oh.
Well, because, you know, like, I always say there's no, if you're having surgery, technically there's no such thing as minor surgery in my opinion, but yes, I get your point. Like, if you're having surgery, it's not
had
minor.
I went and had LASIK surgery during, and I did a show the same morning.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to do that.
And that was but I did.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to do that. You're supposed to take the day off
but
and then come back in the next
Henry
day.
Henry was gone, so hey, no choice.
I gotcha. Someone says Google is fantastic for searching fatty
But it was great
tissue.
For the commercials, Alex. I know you're doing them now, but that was right in the wheelhouse.
Ray Vision is fantastic,
absolutely.
Man. Absolutely love it. Hey, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending and what's at stake for the Chiefs defense on Sunday and what we could be saying on Monday about this defense.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.